Episode is brought to you by the Old Dominion Athletic Foundation. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Become a member today.
Waiting for it. Hello, yeah, Monarch fans. Yeah. Welcome to Hudson Homers Podcast. CB and Coach Finney here as always. Another off-season update for you all. We have a ton of stuff. We talk about our guys in the minors, the draft, how the roster's coming together with recruiting. We've got a special guest here in about 26, 27 minutes that I know you'll be excited about, and a whole bunch of other things. But Coach Finney, you're in the new digs. How are things going?
Yeah, you get a shot of my new chandelier right
here.
So we have, we moved over to Larchmont from West Ghent and been in a couple weeks now. So just about out of boxes and nice little spot, a little closer to the field, actually. Not that we were far before, but I like being on, I lived on this side of campus before I moved to West Ghent, and it's a little less busy actually trying to get home. Because when they put that rail yard district in, they added like six friggin' stoplights. It is like just forever to get down Hampton Boulevard there. So I don't even have to go down here. I can cut through Powhatan and shoot up Magnolia, and I'm right over here. So, So we're happy, excited about it, and you know, getting used to all the new creaks and groans of new houses and.
That was the first time it was windy at my condo, and like there's like a spot at the window right in my bedroom where it makes like this insane whistle if it gets windy enough. And I was like, are there banshees? Am I dying? What's happening right now?
The haunted condo, Steve.
Yeah. The haunted condo.
So. The ghost got figured out where I'm not leaving. They're going to have to make it work.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, CB, you've been running around all kinds of baseball. How have you been the last month or so?
Yeah, a lot of baseball. Got to see our guys with the Pilots a bunch, see some of our guys with the Norfolk Mermaids, which is I don't know why they didn't go with mermen, but whatever. Hey, it works. Saw Blake Morgan. We'll talk about that maybe a little later. Yeah, I got a lot of baseball, man. It's been great.
Yeah.
And the Avengers trailer came out today. All my nerdy stuff is going on.
When does the movie come out?
Not till December, but Spider-Man comes out next week. So.
Okay.
That's important.
Anybody seen The Odyssey?
I did. Yeah, it's really good. It's very
How
good.
Is it?
It's very good. It's apparently not as historically accurate to the story as it could be, but whatever. It's movie. It's nice. It's well made.
Well, Matt
Damon. It's got Spider-Man and Punisher in it.
Yeah. That's great. I'm going to go see that.
Yeah.
Where'd you go see it at?
I did not go to IMAX. I just wanted to make everybody upset. I just saw it in like the normal Regal theater that I see it at all the movies at.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
Yeah,
I'll probably go out. It's playing at the Narrow, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a great spot to see.
I like that old spot, man. Get the old school popcorn maker.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about the Narrow is if you go to the restroom, then you can still hear the audio for the movie. You don't really miss anything if you have to go to the restroom.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's just like my house. I just leave the door open and let it keep going.
100%.
Absolutely. So the World Cup, we had that was. I'll tell you this. I watched more soccer in the last month than I've watched in my whole life, and it was exciting. You know, I think the USA making the final 16 got more people like interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you saw some really good teams. I mean, down the stretch right there. So I was flipping around. Watching some of the British Open final yesterday and then rolled on to the soccer match. I think the best team doesn't always happen, right? But I think this year, this time the best team won. I think Spain was clearly the best team.
Their defense was just suffocating.
Couldn't score them. They had seven shutouts. Like, think about that.
What did they say? They had two shots on goal yesterday? Is that what it was?
Total. Yeah. And
two
and
shots.
Only one of them was like a legit shot.
Yeah.
They outshot them was like 24-2. Something like that.
Yeah. That poor goalie for Argentina. I mean, played his guts out and still lost. That was tough.
He did. Mm. He did. So I know. And then when they got a man down, I mean, they weren't going to be able to come back from that. No way. They were trying to play for penalty kicks. I know. Mm. So that's it's like, to me, that's like playing a baseball game that ties and then you roll a L screen out there and start to play home run.
Yeah, you know? Exactly right.
Like, God, this guy's played 120 minutes and then you're going to go to, I mean, a penalty kick's a coin flip. If the guy guesses right, he gets it. He gets guesses wrong, he doesn't get it right. I don't think there's, you know, once in a while they shoot it over the bar, but they shouldn't. Malcolm Gladwell did a study on penalty click penalty kicks, and he said they came up with the best thing to do is to kick it right at the goalie. He never stays there.
I think it's going to be there. Yeah.
But nobody's got enough guts to do that. Because then if he decided to stay there, they'd be like, what are you doing?
You look like an idiot. Yeah, if you kick it straight at him, he just goes,
bounces off of him.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was entertaining at least. I mean, there were some really good games in there. I think even the third place game the day before, I think it finished 6-4. So if you like offense,
most entertaining game that was like arena soccer, man. It was like
that's like soccer how I wanted if they want them to get rid of the offsides rule to make it actually like scoring happen. That's where I would be much like I go out, I watch the ODU soccer because, you know, got to root for our players, but it's not my favorite. And it's like every single time something interesting is about to happen, like, oh, offsides, can't do offsides. It. It's like, come on,
the flag goes up.
Yeah.
I think the whole body should have to be clear of the guy, not just any part of their body.
To me, it's just like a fast break in the basketball. Like, hey, sorry you lost. Like, you're getting beat now.
They would figure part of the strategy for sure.
Yeah.
Just got to figure out how to put a blue line down like they do in hockey, because at least you know where the line is. It doesn't move, and the rules are simple.
Yeah. That would be a good compromise, I think, for sure. Yeah.
Speaking of rules, there's a pretty big one that happened in college sports that I think is worth talking about a little bit. So the we call it 5-5. I'm sure that might have some official name, but that's the idea now is that players have 5 years to play 5 seasons. And then there's a limitation on, I think it's either starting right after their 19th birthday is like the latest it can be. But the few exceptions are what military service, religious, which probably talking about Mormon mostly, and then pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically now you get rid of the 5-4. It's 5-5. You gained a year of eligibility. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason to redshirt anymore. The medical, quote unquote, redshirt is built into that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one potential waiver would be a kid that, you know, like a baseball injury where it's an 18-month deal like Tommy mm-hmm. John, where you could potentially miss 2 seasons. Instead of one, but
so they still, so I got like, people might remember, Brett Smith that played for us, played for 7 years. So someone like him, they might be able to do that still.
Yeah. Okay. I think there'd still be a chance of that, but it wouldn't. And the thing that went along with that, is also the one time transfer mm-hmm. portal is back. So
okay.
you can transfer once in the portal without sitting. I think that was part of that package. So that's a good thing, you know. Things happen. You can transfer, no penalty, blah, blah, blah. But you can't just go hopping around, you know, 7 schools in 5 years now.
Now, does that 1 year sitting count as part of your 5 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would lose it. Yeah. So you don't get it. You don't get an extra year to just do that. So I think that'll, you know, make some guys think twice, you know.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to make sure just to go through that. So we'll see. Of course, there's a whole new band of lawsuits,
right? Because now all the players that just finished want their 5th year that they didn't get.
Yeah.
There's also a bill in the Senate right now that's being negotiated. That's a little bit bigger picture college sports. I saw some of the things that are being put into that bill. One of them would be that if you're in a power conference and you want to go to a different power conference, you have to do 5 years as an independent in order to make that move. So that would essentially eliminate, you know, the SEC stealing from the Big 12 or any other conference again. I would assume if that becomes law that we will see the SEC and the Big 10 say, see you later, NCAA, we're going to go do our own thing now.
Yeah. Which probably needs to happen anyway. color.
Yeah, honestly.
Might make our lives easier for sure.
I mean, it's just the way it's going. Like, what in the world are we competing against? You know, it's like what's a Carolina League team?
Like the Mudcat, the Carolina Mudcat. Like
Carolina Mudcat's trying to beat the Yankees.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what it becomes. Like,
and it might happen on a day. You know, that's baseball, but over the course of the season, it ain't happening.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how all that goes. But, yeah, so that's the eligibility rule. You know, we still got there's some of these bigger packages coming, which this needs to get legislative, you know, teeth behind it, because everything the NCAA does just ends up in court and challenge. Yeah. They don't have any.
They've back themselves in the corner where they don't have any legitimacy anymore. It's like they say something, it's like, yeah, until we go and sue you.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't prevent the quarterback from Texas Tech who bet on his own team and against his own team from playing. Yeah. They can't stop that. What can they actually stop? Yeah.
That was more peer pressure that he stopped going after than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the NFL rug pulled him, which I thought was kind of a fitting end to that that story.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, karma caught up with
One thing I do like about the 5-5, like you said, there's no more real point in redshirting, because it's nice, because what that means is you can play guys in that freshman year. I mean, I know, like, for instance, the last couple of years you've had, like, J.J. Hand was a catcher, Alex Gomez was a catcher, and they're there, and they're, you know, J.J. particularly this year was there catching bullpens every day, and I'm sure it would have been nice at some point, like on a Tuesday or something like that, a midweek game, be like, hey, go get in at bat, go catch the last inning. But if you do that, you are doing him a disservice, because you're taking away a year of his service time.
Yeah, because we don't have the good rule like football has.
Right,
right.
Which is ridiculous. Like, one at bat.
Yeah, it takes your whole season.
Entire season. Like, nobody ever been able to explain that to me. They changed that rule, unless you're hurt. It used to be 30%. You could play 30% of the season as long as it was in the first half of the season.
Right.
Whether you were hurt or not. And then they changed that rule, and that was too bad. So but it's going to be better, and you know, it's just going to have to. We're going to have to remember that old rule isn't in place. So you know, you get at the end of a blowout, or you get in. Mm-hmm. You know, now there's no reason not to rest some guys, throw those guys in there, and let them play. And I think that's a good thing.
I think so too.
They got to get their feet wet somehow, and why not do it in situations where there isn't a lot of pressure on them, and you're going to see, you know, some things, and I think it'll be helpful.
I also think it's interesting too, because between that and then you have, it's the 34-man roster limit. Is that and that's, you have to correct me, is that happening now, or is there still
now? There's still waivers involved in that. The designated, the DSAs, the designated student athletes from 2 years ago.
Okay.
When this rule went into effect, you went through your whole roster and you had to designate which guys were going to be those type of guys, which basically meant you left them unprotected.
Okay.
Anybody, you know, because and so. They could go anywhere and not count against anybody's roster for the length of
plus.
They're eligible. Yeah. So we have a few left in the program. I don't know, maybe three or four from that time. So you could have 34 plus your designated.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But that's it. But it'll be, you know, each year it'll be getting down more towards the 34. And that has to go into place by December 1. So your fall, you could have more than that.
Right.
But then December 1st comes, you got to have your 34 guys plus whatever designated. And those other guys, like, they can't do anything with you.
Right.
And they're not a part of the team. And so there'll be some guys that, you know, if you have more, if you're, I would love to, for us to be at 34 plus the designated guys, and not have to cut somebody in.
Yeah. It's a tough thing, because then you're telling somebody stick around, do nothing, or you could transfer out to go to JUCO if you're eligible for it. I mean, it's a tough deal. Yeah, it's a lot worse than having to do it at the end of the year.
That's going
to
happen. So yeah, it's all this new stuff we're trying to navigate and figure out.
But I do think that with the 5-5 and the 34-man roster limit, that's really got to make it hard on freshmen. I mean, just it's already hard enough to get some playing time, but now you're competing against, you know, hey, would I rather, and just for a roster spot, would I rather have a freshman who's completely unproven or a guy in his fifth year?
You hit it on the head, man. It's hard. And I think the freshmen that you get, you got to really like them.
Yeah.
You got to really like them because the odds say you're not getting a bunch out of them that first year because they're going to be playing, if you're doing your job correctly, they're going to be playing behind some guys. Now, maybe they become an outlier and beat some guys out and they're good, you know, about second half of the season kind of thing, Nick Felton type deal and all of that. So it always can happen. But you're not getting as many either. Like, you know, I think we got five hitters in that class, you know, maybe five pitchers, four or five, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, the 27 class might have less on the position player side even. So it just I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic where you're at on all of this. So.
And then you wonder if by the time you figure out what works well for that, will they change rules again? That's that constant problem of you don't ever have enough years under the system to figure out what works best in the system.
I mean, we're going on five straight years where they've changed the rules.
Yeah.
You just go with the flow, man. And, you know, speaking of rule changes, Gary, you said you had up some of the playing rule, you know, suggestions from the committees. You know, we went through that 2-year cycle and I glanced at that. And, you know, the base one always cracks me up because when I first read it, I was like, yes, we're going to the bigger base. Like, you know, and then it said it's allowed or something, but we're using the double base. So now we're going to have the double base that's a bigger base? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, they worded that kind of weird. Like, you can have an 18-inch base instead of the standard 15, but it's optional. However, you have to have double bases. So are we going to go to games where there's an 18-inch base and a 15-inch double base? Like, how's that going to work?
Yeah, that one was totally confusing. Again, we don't do the common sense thing, which is just go to the bigger base, like pro ball, and get rid of the double base. But they all think double base is saving injuries, and I think they're crazy.
I think they got stock in some double base company because
probably right. They got the Rawlings, whoever made that double base, and they're on the beach in Bora Bora right now. They can be.
Yeah. Well, we've seen the double base go wrong. I mean, we were in Montgomery in about a 30-minute delay. Ted was narrating his version of the Odyssey with that gentleman who was trying to fix it. And it was pretty good, but I think we can avoid that in the future.
Yeah.
The headline grabbing one is that ABS, the Balls and Strikes Challenge System, is approved, but that's under the impression that everyone can actually have that system in place. Like if you have it, cool, you can use it. But if you don't and your conference doesn't, sorry, you're out, which maybe the SEC tries it, but I don't see the Sun Belt going to that anytime soon.
I don't either. I mean, that's gotta be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did like that the SEC tried it in their conference tournament last year, though. It was kind of fun, and you started seeing the catchers with some gamesmanship of framing strikes as balls to try to use up the other team's challenges. I thought that was pretty smart.
Yeah.
I think we were watching a game on the bus riding back or riding there where there was like two or three of those challenges in the Auburn game we were watching. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, the one game ended on the challenge, remember?
Yeah.
Was
that Auburn, Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Ended on challenge. That was cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then got three. I think they're giving you three additional offensive timeouts that the players can use for a reset. I like that rule, actually. So you have six on defense, three by the coach, three by the players. Now you're going to have six on offense. The coach can use three. The players can use all six, but – you have to be careful on that. Like, you know, you're going to have to explain to your guys, like, you know, we can't use all our resets in the first inning. Like,
yeah.
But if you get down to it, And I think the main reason for that is some of the pitch clock stuff. Like, if the guy, you know, you get inside of that and he wants to call it a strike, you can use one of your visits to alleviate that.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. The voice pitch clock.
Cost you one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really find out who's good and bad at that. Because it wasn't like the Yankees. I mean, they told Jazz Chisholm that he can't challenge anymore.
Yeah.
You get some guys who are just really not good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Seen a few of those in the MLB this year, and it's been kind of funny to watch teams just drain them both in a first inning at bat. Some of the other changes, 30-second timer could be used between batters as well as during mound visits and offensive timeouts. So actually putting a countdown clock on that, I think before it just been kind of kept somewhat by the umpire a little inconsistently.
Yeah, man, 30 seconds just doesn't seem like a lot of time.
Seems very short for, like, going to the plate, maybe, but like, mound visit is like, you can't even get it. I mean, Mike runs, so maybe he'd be all right. But
I mean, I don't know. When does that start? Does it start when he gets to the mound?
Then yeah.
It's
where you get Wayne Graham out there taking a 25-minute walk to the mound.
And Mike's done a good job of that, too, sometimes, those little baby steps going out to the mound.
Well, again, we're splitting hairs for seconds here. Like, it just makes, you know, the 30 seconds in between batters, that's been optional for a while. Like, the SEC kind of uses that in lieu of the 20-second pitch clock. You know, once the play is over, that 30-second clock starts. And I don't know what it's kind of – to me, it's confusing because – the 30-second clock, so we're doing that instead of the 20-second, you know, in between batters. That's just in between batters. The guy hits a double, you know, ball's thrown back in, they go 20 seconds. But then in between pitches, it's just 20. So in between plays, I guess offensive plays that happen, then it would be 30 in between batters. When a new batter's coming, I suppose. Yeah. So whatever it is, we'll get used to it.
Yeah. What else can you do? I'd be like, okay, and just keep on going.
We got to time everything, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, nowadays you're gonna the dude running the clock, man. He's got like five, you know, seven different settings he's got to have ready to punch in there.
Yeah, it used to be the shot clock in basketball was the hard one because you have to tell from the sideline if it hit the rim or not. Now it's, what situation is this? Or what button do I push? That's going to be.
I ran the clock in middle school basketball a few times, and I was so glad there was no shot clock because there were plenty of times where the play started and I forgot to start the clock or the play stopped. I was like, it's middle school basketball. This doesn't matter, guy. We'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, that happens sometimes too, you know. And I mean, you got some places, you know, you got an intern running that thing, and they're not paying.
Yeah.
It can affect the game. I think it's an important.
Yeah, for sure. Part.
For sure. And we'll have a nice press box set up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Going. So any more of those new rules? Was that about it?
The other big one was any fair foul call and any tag play can now be reviewed. So there's not a restriction on those anymore.
They finally put that in.
Yes.
You know, it used to be if it was on the ground, if it hit the ground in front of the fielder, then you couldn't review a fair foul down the line.
Crazy.
Which makes no sense to me at all, because the ones that are in the air are usually pretty easy to see.
Right,
it's the ones going over the bag or not.
Yeah,
and now you can. So that's better. But again, we'll see how many of those get changed. You know,
that's always reliant on the camera work.
Yeah, it is, and we'll be in better shape there with the the cameras in the new stadium. As put construction zone.
And
safe out as well, right?
Safe out and then tag plays as well. So basically, finally doing the common sense thing and letting replay be used for more than just a few things. Then the other potential change, this would just be an experimental one. If leagues want to try out the two pitcher disengagements per batter, they will be allowed to do that, but you have to do it as a conference. So again, I don't know if the Sun Belt will implement that, but it'll mimic the MLB rules where you can disengage twice on the third disengagement. If you don't pick the runner off, it's a balk and the runner advances.
I really thought college had that. We had that for a minute, like a couple of years ago. Maybe I just completely forgot what was happening.
They had the thing where you could, step off. You had to like fake.
Yeah, you had to do the
yeah.
Then it didn't count, and that right. went to one step off. Doesn't matter what you do. I'd be okay with it. I mean, it's gonna, you know, it takes a part of the game away. You know, which used to be a part of baseball. You pick off a bunch and get the guy tired of diving back if he's a good runner. But you know.
Yeah, there's some strategy there now, too. If you've got a good base dealer that can get a lead and get back quick to try to draw those two disengagements and take a bigger lead on the third one.
Yep.
I mean, if you've got a fast guy, you're almost going to automatically steal second. Then it's like the cat and mouse of, am I going over or am I going home? And it kind of – it just changes that decision point, I think, a little bit. But some strategy there.
Yeah, I'd be okay if our league – we'll have our coaches meeting in August, and I'm sure we're going to go through all of these. And I'd actually be okay with that one. Wouldn't bother me at all.
Well, I want to talk about, we had a couple of Monarchs sign pro contracts.
Yep.
I think Gary might have a couple of images. Yeah, a couple of our guys went out there and got themselves real jobs. Bailey Metella signed with the independent Washington Wild Things, so he's joining Kyle Edwards. And then Hunter Baines, just the other day, he signed a non-drafted free agent contract with the St. Louis Cardinals. So he's going to go there, probably down to Palm Beach to start his career. So that's pretty great. I mean, that's pretty awesome, especially for Bailey, a kid who, you know, was a walk-on and then ends up playing pro ball. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, really happy for Bailey. Great kid, great family. You know, their family's been amazing, you know, and they've been through a lot in the last year. So really happy for Bailey. Hunter, I love Hunter, and I'm happy for him too. Just have mixed feelings about that. You know, I always think guys, I like to feel like they're ready, you know, when they go try to play professional baseball at any level, if they have eligibility left.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just never got to see Hunter healthy.
Yeah.
And I get he wants to play. I think he would have been better off, you know, having a good, solid college season under his belt. But we'll wish him the best, man. He's a great kid. And he did, you know, a lot of good things here. He was a fantastic teammate. He helped our program even though he didn't pitch much. So
You could, and being someone that's there around it, you could tell that for sure. He was definitely a leader without being able to contribute.
Yeah, he created a home for himself here without a doubt. And I would have liked to see, you know, selfishly too, I'd like to see.
Yeah. I wanted to see him throwing 98, 99 for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you hope he can do well. You know, what you don't hope with these undrafted free agent guys is they go out and don't perform well, and they're done playing before their college season.
Yeah.
Over.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've seen that happen before, and it's sad.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going, man, you could have just played for us and then done this.
I've seen that with some of the guys who signed out of high school, where their pro career was over before their college career would have been. It's like, that's a bad beat, man.
That's a bad feeling right there, for sure. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So we wish them both the best, you know, certainly. I mean, two great kids. You know,
they really are.
We want them to go out and tear it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely excited for them to go in. And, you know, CB, you and I have seen a couple of our guys in the pros. Yeah. I know you and I were together. Got to see Noah Dean up here at Richmond. He's with Harrisburg. But you've got a really cool spot to go see Blake.
Yeah. I went up on the Eastern Shore. Yeah, up on the Eastern Shore, up at Salisbury, Maryland, Delmarva Shorebirds. He was playing for the he still is playing for the Charleston River Dogs, which they've got the it's like the Holy City uniforms on there, which I did not know they had. That's pretty cool. But yeah, so he was and that was funny. It was probably his worst outing of the year. He threw five innings, gave up three runs. He still got a win. So it's funny to tell you how well he's pitching this year. That was his worst one. And still got a win. And yeah, he had his mom and dad were there, had a ton of friends there, because that's about as close as they were coming to Jersey. And so probably I think a factor in why he had a little bit of issues in the first inning is because he had too much energy. We know that about Blake. But yeah, so it's pretty awesome to see. I mean, he's, you know, obviously one of the best human beings on the planet. So that was really cool to get to see him.
Hey, he's killing it, man. Like, keeps going like that. He's gonna keep moving. He's in the right organization too. They value the skill set that he has, certainly, you know.
Oh, and Gary, can you put that back up? Because he made a point to make sure I knew that he's still wearing his Old Dominion Monarch shoes. He said because the Rays and then also Charleston have the same, you know, navy color scheme. He's still rocking the ODU shoes. So he wanted me to make sure to tell Finney that point that out to everybody.
Yeah, he'll be trying to raid the equipment room again when
I was about to say, as much torque as he's getting on the toe of that back leg, I'm surprised there's not a giant hole in it.
Yeah, it is always funny seeing pictures with holes on the top of their shoes. Like, that's not where holes go.
Yeah, he's doing good.
Yeah,
we're proud of him.
And I'm excited to get to go see John Hollibetz and Noah Dean again up in Portland, Maine at the end of the month. That's going to be good. But pay attention and see where these guys are. If they're near you, go check it out.
How are some of the guys? Just thinking out loud, you know, Sam Armstrong. How are some of the guys, you know, they graduated a few years ago, you know, got signed a few years ago. Yeah. And what are they doing?
Sam Armstrong, he got traded from the Cubs to the Twins.
Right, I knew that.
I keep forgetting about. So he's playing for the Wichita Wind Surge. And he's been doing pretty well, been in the rotation most of the year, having a solid year in Double A. It's funny, Hunter Gregory, who was with the Blue Jays, he got cut out of spring training, actually pitched, I think it was with the York Revolution, the independent team. I didn't realize that, but then he got signed by the Twins. So he's now a teammate there with Sam. I don't think they ever played together here at ODU.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. So he's back in Double A, and he, last I looked, he's still doing really well. I mean, Hunter's, he's killed Double A last couple of years, had a little bit of issues in Triple A, you know, which is, again, that's a matter of making an adjustment because he obviously can play really well. Yeah, I think Andy Gariola, he's in Double A with the Cubs of Tennessee.
West Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah, and he's been playing really, I think he's got 17, 18 home runs. Hunter Fitzgerald is with Double A Arkansas with the Angels. He's got over 20 home runs. He's doing great. We saw his little brother play up there when we saw Noah Dean. That was kind of funny.
He's a good player. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of the Carter Trice is there. He's a teammate with Andy.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, who else am I missing?
I mean, Ryan Yarbrough got the start on Sunday Night Baseball last night, which is really cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
Our guys, we have a lot of guys. I think we have about 23 former Monarchs playing pro ball right now. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
It's been Jared Young's up with the Mets. I mean, we've pretty consistently the last few years had a lot of guys playing.
Is PJ back up with the Reds or
I think he was down right now.
Yeah, he's been up twice this year though. But usually for like the minimum amount of time and then it gets pushed back down. But I mean, they're obviously depending on him quite a bit. Anytime a catcher goes down, man, he's on the plane going up.
Yeah.
So, and of course, the biggest news of the All-Star weekend was Justin Verlander announcing his retirement. Like, that stole all the headlines, even from a great home run derby.
Yeah.
So, pumped for him to be getting one final run here with the Tigers that he got drafted by. Now the debate is, does he retire as an Astro or a Tiger for the Hall of Fame? Mm-hmm. I'm not biased in any way, shape, or form. Just saying,
I mean, he won a World Series there, right? You know, so hey.
Who did he win his Cy Youngs with?
I think he won him with both of them. I'm pretty sure he won.
Yeah. Because he came back from Tommy John and won the Cy Young that year,
He might have won, like, two of them with the Tigers. But
I don't know. Part of me just thinks he should go in as a Tiger. I mean, that's why.
I think him as a Tiger. I honestly kind of forget he played for the Astros, which is funny.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Those are spending the most of his time. I mean, that's, you know, where it came up. But, you know, I'll always be a homer for that one, no doubt.
Yeah. We're redoing our outfield wall for next year.
Ooh.
They're rebranding it, and they're going to move some things around. But I told them, I said, you know, we need to wait and find out he's going in as a Tiger. We got to change the logo. We got to change some logos out. We got to change, McEachero. We got to change Yarbrough. We got to change Young. We got to change Higgins. We got some logos we got to switch out. Yeah. We will. And we got some opportunities for some other stuff. Maybe the team pictures go on the pads that go down the side or some version of that. So we'll see how we're going to show you. Because they, you know how it is. They want to put advertising out there and make some money. two.
Yeah, you know.
And I'm just like, well, how are you going to pick which players you're going to take off of?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the one that gets beat up if you do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many big leaguers, so it's like, you know, it's not that hard. I mean, it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that, they like, don't understand that. They're just trying to make money.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we'll get it figured out.
Which is always funny to me because you ever been to a ball game and seen a sign on the outfield wall and thought, man, I got to go buy that product.
Nope.
Like, nope. I vaguely, a lot of times I forget it's even there. And then you see a picture like, oh, yeah, I guess that's a thing.
Well, you know, yeah, if there was a pet with a nice Hudson Homers logo out there, you might tune in and listen.
I think that's a great idea. I'll be happy to put that in the hopper.
Yes. Sure. Well, on that note, Finney, I told you there was a surprise coming for you.
Hey, before you get to that, though.
All right.
A little advance teaser on the schedule next year.
Oh.
Almost completed, you know, baseball schedules. Are, you know, gentlemen's agreements between the coach for the most part, but and sometimes they're moving targets. But we have so our you know pre-conference first four weekends, we are going to. It looks like we're going to play open up with Bucknell at home,
mm-hmm.
and then we go to Mercer the second weekend.
Mercer, wow.
And then we have St. Joe's at home. And then we have University of Pittsburgh at home. So getting a, you know, ACC team in here for a three-game set. We also have Virginia home and home this year.
Nice. Nice.
And we got I'm working on potentially playing a game at Tech on the way to Appalachian.
Oh, nice. All right.
After school's out. We're trying to figure that one out still. So, yeah, so – you know, it's and then the usual East Carolina home and home, VCU home and home, Richmond, William and Mary, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, that's just a little sample size of what we're doing, right there. So, and we do have Penn State coming here in 28.
Okay. Nice
early. So,
not too bad.
Yeah.
Penn State, I think we said this before, that Penn State is one of the teams, like, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess they have baseball. Like, you forget it. Like, I feel like I've never seen a picture. There's probably some big leaguers I'm not aware of, but I feel like I've never seen a picture of Penn State baseball. They probably got some amazing alumni that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, who knows, man. I'm sure they'll be good. I mean, they got all the money in the world. So.
Right, exactly.
But Pitt will be good. They're a good club, and that'll be a good, you know, challenge to get us ready, you know, to go into conference play.
Mercer's pretty damn good too. I don't know how much their roster's good. Coming back, but they're good.
They lost their whole team, so they'll get a bunch of guys in the portal, I'm sure. But that's two years in a row that's happened to them, and they still good both years. So playing them down there, it'll be good. You know, just getting on the road a little bit, and then get back and play at home. So three of the first four weekends, we're playing at home.
Nice,
good RPI games.
Oh, for sure, especially with Mercer, if they bounce back like they did last year. That could be mutually beneficial since they were kind of left out this year.
Yeah, you're right.
David Ardsma is the biggest name I'm seeing off the – yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of old time. They did really well back in, like, the 30s.
Yeah.
John Ward, a Hall of Famer from the 1800s, went to Penn State. So there you go. Yeah.
Well, yes. Well, the surprise, Finney, definitely the hats. They are in production now. I'm supposed to get them by the second week of August. I've got 50 coming. So there'll be quite a few showing up to your offices here, and then we'll be doling a few out. And in fact, we got a guest that I'm definitely going to give one of these to sitting backstage right all now. Right. Well, Mr. Bo Cowan, how's it going, Bo?
Hey, guys. I'm sorry I'm late. I said 6:30 and I joined it and you already started. I was like, what the heck? But I'm okay now.
They get me out of the way so the good guests can come on. So they got to get me done.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I wouldn't mind hanging around if you guys don't mind for a
little please.
While. Oh, yeah, as long as you want.
I'll bow out when Steph gets home. But I always like to hang around and, you know, see what kind of grief I can – give Bo.
Yeah. Well, Bo, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm in bed because the doctor told me to stay in bed and stay off my backside as much as possible. So I'm in bed. So because
you're listening,
they don't want me to. What?
I said, you're listening to the doctors now? What? Come on.
Yeah, I don't want to, but I don't want to, I don't want to end up in the hospital with a wound vac on my, on my leg. So I'm like, I have to listen to my, to the doctor.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm good.
Good.
There you go.
Well, what have you been up to this summer?
I've been watching Blake Morgan. I've been watching everybody start. Thank God they don't start. They're not starting on everybody's. They're starting on different days. So I watch Blake, and then I watch Blake Morgan, and then I watch
Dylan Brown,
and then I watch Dylan Brown. And I, you know, then I then I text them and say, tell them good job, and then I just leave them alone.
Yeah, that is nice. You can make a full week if you add Sam Armstrong to it. You may make a full week out of watching guys.
Yeah, they don't. But I don't know when he. I try to look at his schedule when he throws, but they don't. The unless I'm missing something, the website doesn't do the days they pitch. Used to do that, but I don't know now. I'm missing something. I don't know.
No, some teams are better about it than others. I know, like, Dylan's team with Greenville is real bad about the putting it ahead of time.
The stats on MILB used to have the dates when they pitch, but now maybe it's somewhere that they moved it and I can't find it now, but I don't know. But it is what it is. I just call them and find out what they're doing. I can't watch Noah Dean because I don't never know when he's going in. Yeah. You know, so I just
hard life for a reliever.
Catch that when he goes in, but you know. He hasn't been pitching the past 2 weeks. I texted him and he didn't even get back to me, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, I'll check him out. Oh,
Bo needs to hear about some of the new rules. We need to get his take on some of the new potential rule changes that look like they're coming down the pike and see what he thinks, because he usually has no trouble with his opinion.
Yeah. Well, Bo, it looks like the ABS system, the ball strike challenge system, is approved if the conference wants to go and do it. So I can usually hear you chirping the umpires over everyone else who's out there. So just wondering what you think about that.
Accountability is good. You have to keep everybody else accountable. The pitchers are accountable. The coaches are accountable. Why not hold the umpires accountable? Good.
Yeah, exactly. Let me reload and start back up. Bo and I had coffee last week, and we were catching up on some of this stuff too. So, he likes to hear about the new recruits and some of those things. So, he's got his foot on the heartbeat of the program, though, for sure. So, I was going to give a quick stadium thing too.
Oh yeah.
So the seats are maybe tomorrow they go in. They've got it's a lot of layers, right? So they got all the decking down. They got all the facings down. Then they put the rails in that the actual seats clamp to. And I think they're just about done with that. So now the seats are here. There's going to be, 1,900 and change, whatever it is, 2,000 Navy chairbacks going in this week. So that'll be really cool. All right. I'm going to let you guys finish this up. do the best you can and take care of it.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for having me on, fellas.
Yeah, thank you so much, Finny. Hope you have a good rest of your summer.
All right, go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs. Yes. Well, let's hit a quick message from ODAF. We'll come back. CB and I will wrap things up.
Yeah. The Old Dominion Athletic Foundation, or commonly referred to as the ODAF, was established in 1964 as a nonprofit organization. The mission of the ODAF is to raise financial support for ODU athletics to ensure that our coaches and student athletes have the resources necessary to compete for championships. The ODAF is integral to the success of ODU Athletics and is the channel through which our fans and alumni can partner with our coaches and student athletes for the advancement of the athletics program. Through the generous efforts of our donors, loyal fan base, and community, the ODU alumni from around the globe, the ODAF raises money for student athletic scholarship support and endowments, capital projects, program-specific support, and athletic department operations. Funds are raised through annual giving, multi-year pledges, events, premium seating, and planned giving. With questions about how to get involved in one or more of these initiatives, reach out to an ODAF representative. Gifts to the ODAF are investments in the lives of our student athletes. ODAF members receive exclusive benefits such as priority points for postseason and away game seating, parking, VIP, and hospitality experiences, and more. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Contact the ODAF and become a member today.
Thanks, Blaine.
Thanks, Blaine. And thanks, Bo, for hopping on. Had some technical difficulties earlier with his audio. But, you know, if you've been to an ODU game, you've undoubtedly heard Bo for sure yelling at the umpires or someone. Going to be hard to find a more passionate ODU baseball fan than Bo.
He is someone that he is always there. You know, he's there certainly as many games as he possibly can be. And frankly, I don't know because I'm not there. I wish I was able to, but I think he's just around a lot, like during the week and during all kinds of parts of the year. So it's again, we always love people who are passionate about the same thing we're passionate about, which is awesome.
Yeah, he means a lot to the program too. Finney talking about grabbing coffee with him, all of that. So love seeing Bo around. Got to see him a good bit during this baseball season, and I think we're all just excited to get back out to our nice new, better be completed ballpark. It sounds like it's on the right track, though.
Yeah, it's one of those. I know people ask, any updates on the ballpark? I'm like, I don't know, man. It'll be February. Was it 13th? Is that Friday? It'll be ready. Like that's as much as I don't know frankly, it's one of those things. Like, aside, if you're not one of the players or coaches, like, who cares if it's ready on August 1st? Like, what's the difference? Like, it's like, yeah, that'd be nice. It'd be cool. I'm sure it's good for recruits to bring it in. As far as our average fan, it's just like, some people have had such weird reactions to the thing, acting like it's like personally offending them and upsetting them. But it's like, man, meanwhile, all the players and coaches are just like, yeah, that's what we're dealing with. Like, it's not our ideal. It's like, but, you know, that's some people are winners, some people are whiners.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you live nearby, you can drive by and see it from the road pretty clearly. We'll have more of a presence on campus as the fall sports start firing up. We can get you some more photos, but
I'll be over there for a couple of soccer games first week of August. So I'll make sure you get some pictures. So, I mean, it's one of those where it's like, haven't had a reason. I live over here in Virginia Beach. You know, I'm not dying of curiosity and like, I can't understand why it's not finished. So, but yeah, if you are, just take a quick little drive over. Like I said, it's not that hard.
Yes, yes. And I make the drive from Richmond to Norfolk enough through the monster traffic that is 64 and then the Hampton Bridge Tunnel. But that'll all come to an end here pretty soon. I am shocked that, you know, we've got fall sports starting up in what, like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks?
Literally, yeah. The August 6th, I think it's an exhibition. I think there's exhibition games of soccer. But yeah, I mean, it's close. It's only a few weeks. And by the middle of August, you're rolling along with soccer and men's and women's soccer and field hockey and volleyball, and it's all going. And I'm sure probably other ones that I'm probably sailing or something else that I'm not aware of, rowing. I'm not sure when they do swimming. I don't know when they do those, to be honest, off the top of my head.
Yeah. But women's soccer, they will have an exhibition against Hampton at home on August 6th. That's a Thursday at 7. The men are playing M1 on August 8th, which is a Saturday. Then there's a blue white scrimmage for the women, but yeah, I mean,
which I think is great because someone who likes taking pictures, I think a scrimmage with your own team is awesome because then
you get everybody.
If they go out in uniform, it's even better because it's like, hey, we try to get a picture of everybody because, you know, sometimes there's some don't get to play. So,
yes, but yeah, I mean, fall sports really, it's like end of summer sports because August. Yeah. I mean, those teams are there now. They're doing their preseason workouts now, and I feel like we just left Montgomery a couple weeks ago.
It's going fast. Still watching all the summer ball games. I feel like I haven't stopped watching sports. It's been great. Yeah. You see a lot of Pilots games. I mean, the Pilots went from the Bensville Pilots is the team over in Hampton that ODU guys pretty regularly play at. And right now they've got Mac Dye, Tyler Zadalis, Ephraim Morales, and Jackson Runyon are all on the team. And Robbie Heiser, one of our alumni, is coaching with them. And they, I think they started out, I think at one point they were like 7-18, and now they've won 11 of the last 12 games, and they're rolling along. So they're actually like, they went from being basically at the bottom to now they're fighting out to try to get a playoff spot at the end, which is pretty wild. Their last game is, which actually I need to maybe off air talk to you about next Saturday. Yeah, so here's this is a great one for Saturday night. That they had a real back and forth game. They went to the ninth inning. They were down 5-4. I got a walk, a couple of walks, I think a walk, a couple of walks, RBI single, intentional walk, the three-hole hitter to face a four-hole hitter, which is Ephraim Morales. And F, who had already had three hits in the day, hit a ball that any other time is probably a three-run double, but because of the end of the game to walk it off, it was just a one-run single. And yeah, so F is, I mean, we know he's just like, we call a basketball player is a walking bucket. He's, mm-hmm. he's a walking bucket for football. I mean, he's a walking hit. Like he just always is hitting. He had two more hits last night. It's been funny. You see Mac Dye is right there on the left. yeah. They're having a blast. They're both having a good time. They feel locked in. I mean, it's some of those games are hot. It was pretty warm that night. I definitely left. I was sweaty.
yeah. Now, I understand the situation. Second and third, you're going to walk to load the bases to try to give yourself the best chance to win. But
well, especially if they started out 3-0 on the guy.
yeah, that doesn't help either. But yeah, it's a tough look to walk someone to get to Ephraim Morales because he's mostly going to make it.
Ephraim Morales, who already has three hits. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the first thing I said when I saw him at the end of the game. I was like, what's funny because usually because they're over in Hampton, I leave around the seventh or eighth, which I hate to do, but it's also like, hey, man, I got life and reality. You got to get back over here. But it was like, it's Saturday. I didn't have, my parents weren't with me. So I was like, I'm just going to hang out and watch. It was a pretty good game. And so I was like, it's amazing. The first one that I stayed for all the whole game was the walk off. But yeah, I told them at the end, they walked the wrong guys. Like, they sure did. yeah. That's been fun. And getting over to see the Mermaids, see some of the upcoming guys, Jackson Okonkwo is over there just hitting instead of pitching. I've seen him play every position in the infield and the outfield, which is wild. people know Jack. Jackson's every bit of 6'4", 6'5", and he's out there playing like second base and shortstop. It's pretty fun, making some good plays, and hitting. And then Grayson Spar is pretty much only DH the games I've seen. And they've had four of the freshman players, the three of the Jersey kids, and Jace Watson from Indiana, and they've all looked really good. They're all look real, really good kids. Which, speaking of, do we want to look at the list of guys we know that are coming in that we have?
Yeah, definitely.
Am I able to share?
Yeah.
Hit
that present button.
I can share a screen. Okay. Let's see. I did this last time and all right. Okay. I couldn't remember if I did this last time or not.
Oh, yeah.
So you're seeing my screen now. Is that what's happening?
Not yet.
No.
Oh, wait, hold on. I got you.
Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. And where is my button? All right. So I might want to make this actually a little. All right. So anyway, so this is the list of guys that we know or believe we know are coming in. I guess, that always could change. And you see, this is kind of all the high school, JUCO, and transfer guys. Just starting with freshmen. So Jake Cozart, the only guy I actually know his number because his dad shared a video. Jake Cozart's got he's a lefty from Chesapeake. He was originally from Hickory. He was originally going to Virginia Tech, hurt his arm, and I have to assume they pulled a scholarship because they're cool like that. And so they're nice like that. So we got him instead. And so he's supposed to be healthy by the fall, and hopefully he can come in and have an impact. Connor Radford's a freshman righty from Eastern Carolina Academy in North Carolina. We got a few guys coming from there. We got Charlie Shaver is another kid from. We're getting a lot of North Carolina kids now, which is cool. So Charlie Shaver from North Stanley High School, Richfield. We just got another kid at 27 for the next year's team. It's from there. Carney O'Donnell is a big catcher from New Jersey. Was one of our Jersey kids. He is he's huge. He also plays third. Also plays first. Looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, I would. I'd put a little star next to his name and keep an eye out through fall ball because he has the potential to be very, very special. Just his build and his ability, and then position flexibility too. Like, that's one to watch.
And of course, a great. I mean, all these guys that I've met, I'll say this: great kids. I haven't met about half this list, but I'm assuming they're probably also great kids.
It's almost like these coaches are looking for good people first, huh? We've heard that a few times. Yeah.
So Brady Jackson, he's a shortstop from New Jersey. He's from St. Augustine Prep, which you might remember. That's where Kenny and Marco Lavari went. It's where Mike Ney is one of our alumni. He's from. He's the head coach there now. So Brady won a state championship with him. He looked really good. He's got a little bit of a knee injury this summer, but you know, hey, now's the time to have. You never want to get injured, but now's the time to have it. Get over it, and then be ready for the fall. And then Jake Wagner is also a shortstop. They both play, you know, short, second, third. And Jake is a lefty hitter from New Jersey. He's looked very good in the games I've seen. And Jace Watson, a lefty hitting outfielder from Indiana. And I like this kid a lot. He hustles. He looks like a real ball player to me.
Yeah, I've just been impressed.
And then as far as some of our transfers, we got Cooper. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your connection cut out there for a second. You're good now, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm good now. I'm sorry. Okay. Do you have anything you wanted to add? I'm sorry. I didn't want to. I know I talked too much, so I don't want to.
No, I'm just kind of overall, like, the level of talent that is coming in with this incoming class is a little bit different than before. And that's no disrespect to anyone who's come through. Like, we found had some great guys, some great talent. But, like, top to bottom with this class, it's like, whew, where are we going to play all these guys? Where, how are we going to get them at bats?
Yeah, and I think you're 100% right. I think that's a factor of now we've been in the Sun Belt several years, so now you're getting that Sun Belt talent. Now we're getting, you know, there's some NIL money being pushed in things, so some of the transfers for sure are a little bit, you know, more talented than maybe what we've seen. And then some of just those roster rules and limits we talked about. I know at least one or two of these freshmen on here are guys that we would not have gotten otherwise. And I, you know, speaking of that one, I forgot to mention Bryce Mooch. The first baseman. He's one I know. I think we've talked about him a few times on the podcast. He's had not seen him yet, but big lefty guy. And every video I saw, it's like, well, that's just Vinny Pasquantino. if he has as good a career as Vinny, we're all going to be doing great. So some of the transfers coming in. Cooper Bliss is. We got two guys from Catawba Valley Community College. Cooper Bliss is a righty. I believe he was mostly a reliever for them. Looked like he had a really good year there. And then. Jumping down here a little bit, Silas Mills is a catcher, first base, and he told me also outfielder from Catawba Valley. He's playing up there at Tri-City, the Chili Peppers, pretty close to you.
Yep.
So I got a chance to meet him when they came and played a game against the Pilots. And again, just phenomenal kid. He's hitting like 430 or something like that when he's in like 12 games with the Chili Peppers. He can't be stopped. So that's he's a guy. He's very committed to like getting a spot in the lineup. He's like, I don't care if I'm playing first, playing DH, playing catcher, playing the outfield. Like he just wants to be playing. And if he had a monster year in JUCO. Patrick Dudley, I don't think we talked about him much in the podcast, but he is a guy. He's a local kid from Virginia Beach, went to Atlantic Shores. He went to South Carolina last year as a freshman, played in just a few games, had about like seven innings, you know, did fine. I think he had like one game to get a few runs, but otherwise did really well. This is a kid that if he was a guy we got out of high school, we might be like, this is like the best commit we've ever had out of high school. He's that level of talent. I mean, again, he was like an all-state player, went to, you know, the SEC school, you know, obviously with the coaching change that was not getting to play. That was a huge opportunity. It's one of those things like it's a huge get. He's got a real chance to come in and make a real big impact. And obviously having, you know, be a local guy, I probably know more about him than some of these other guys. I think everybody on this list has a chance to have an impact. Chase Knight is a guy. He's from Modesto Junior College. He's a guy. He apparently just kind of started pitching like this last season. So he was more or less like an outfielder. So he went from I saw somebody where said he went from being a light hitting outfielder to being like a knockout pitcher. So that's pretty interesting. I'm curious to get to see him, curious to get to talk to the kid. Kenneth Price is a guy who apparently he'd been committed to ODU since like February, and I didn't even know about it till like somebody mentioned it here in
secret commitment.
Yeah. He does not use his social media is like all locked up, which it should be, you know, good for him. He's from Utah. He had I think he was like 10-0 this year, 10-1. He had like a 190. Like he had a phenomenal year out there at Lane Community College. So he's a kid who you have to believe is going to come in and compete for a spot in the rotation, right? When you do those kind of numbers, you're coming in to be somebody. Harlan Rowe is a guy. He's been interesting to me because he's been committed to ODU for a while. He's a junior college guy, out of Lower Columbia College out there in the Northeast. He's actually hit more as a JUCO player than he's pitched. And every time I ask the coaches, I'm like, well, he's coming as a pitcher, right? They're like, yeah, he's coming as a pitcher. And it's like, okay. Like, I think he threw like four innings. He threw like a one or two innings in summer ball. I don't know if it's because he's been hurt or if he's just like, I don't want to throw because I'm going to throw it ODU. I'm not real sure what is going on there. I'm sure. Well, I can't wait to talk to him and find out. But he's hit really well, so he's competitive. I mean, it's one of those things, like, you know, and with, you know, I know Finney is, maybe we need to talk to him about this maybe one, but I think that, you know, with Okonkwo being a guy who's going out hitting more, maybe he's more open to the idea of guys being a little bit two-way now. With having that roster limitation, you might need it.
Yeah, especially with the arms, like, yeah. I mean, going down to 34, I mean, that makes a big deal, especially in those 5-game weeks. But the 5-for-5 kind of counteracts that, because maybe there's a freshman you give some innings to that before, right, you wouldn't have wanted to burn their year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting. And like I said, it'd be interesting if they could do it for more than like a year and see what it would actually happen. Yeah. But anyway.
A stable year just to get some data to see, like, what's actually happening. Like, right, are guys getting hurt more now or not? That'd be a good thing to know, too.
Who knows? Liam Stewart, another righty, and they're all pretty much almost all righties. He is from Shenandoah. It's which is D2 or D3. I'm honestly not sure off the top of my head.
D3.
Okay, there you go. And we know we've had some success with D3. He's a guy. He was a sophomore last year. Had really good years both years. I think he was All-American as a freshman. I saw him. I haven't seen him yet this year, but he's pitched last year and this year, and actually maybe the year before with the Chili Peppers also. He's been pitching pretty well for him. That's how I saw he had 5 innings the other night and 4 innings. So he's out there just throwing some innings. So again, guy who seems like a really good bullpen arm, but maybe he's going to compete for a spot in the rotation also. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Hopefully he can have the success like Jay Cassidy did coming from CNU, like Brandon Pond. We've done well with D3 pitchers coming up and contributing in a big way for us.
I mean, I think what it shows is, you know, if you can go out and pitch and contribute, you can pitch and contribute. It's one of those things like, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, maybe you're not going to throw as hard as the other guy. Maybe you do throw as hard. Some of the places absolutely have guys who throw in the 90s. I mean, shoot, you got Oxenfeld's son there with the Pilots who goes to Virginia Peninsula Community College, and he throws like 95.
Pretty nasty.
Now he was at JMU before I think he got hurt, and so I think he's getting himself back, but he looks – so whoever is getting him he's dominant. And he comes from a great baseball family.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Silas Mills. Bennett Shaler is another catcher we got. He was at Gardner Webb, was at George Mason before that. He's had a nice little career. He's been around a few years. You know, he's a redshirt senior, that was another question of what are we going to call the fifth year now? Is it like a graduate? I don't know what we need to call it. I feel like we need to change senior to be that fifth year and then figure out something in the in between. But that's another discussion for another day.
Just call them we call them the babies, then the freshmen, or
yeah,
we can adopt the VMI and just call them rats their first year.
That's how a lot of freshmen act. So that might work. Davis Albert is a really nice, is a guy that I really like to see. He's playing summer ball down in North Carolina, but it's a little too far away to get to. But he's a shortstop, second baseman, went to Brunswick Community College. There was a game that Brunswick was playing Catawba, so I could have seen him, Silas Mills, and Bliss pitching the game. And I really wish I'd have gone down to it. I think I wasn't feeling that great that day. And like a 3-hour or 4-hour drive, it wasn't it for me. And I kind of regret it because I would have seen them all. It would have been cool. But he was at Campbell, didn't play a ton at Campbell, then played a bunch at Brunswick. Obviously, he's coming as a junior. Apparently, really fast, really good field. So there's a guy who, you know, we know second base is open, depending on where Zadalas plays, third base could be open. So there's a guy who seems like he's really in the mix for getting a spot in the lineup. Easton Dowell is a shortstop, second baseman from McNeese State. So he, again, another guy coming in for his fifth year. Seems like a guy who's probably going to be like a depth kind of, you know, playing around, you know, bench type guy. But again, who knows? That's just my impression of what I see on stats. I don't know these guys. I don't know what the conversations are, you know, who knows. We talked about Jackson Muchia. Colton, apparently it's Rockmore. I thought it was Rokemore. Apparently it's Rockmore, which is awesome because Rockmore is a much cooler way to pronounce it. calling him Rock is incredibly cool. Yeah. Saying let's go Rock sounds amazing.
Rock and Mooch.
Rock and Mooch. I mean, man, good call. Rock and Mooch in the lineup. Oh boy. So yeah. So we got to get you. So he's a redshirt sophomore. So he's coming into, I guess, his fourth year. No, his third year. Yeah, coming to his third year. He was at Grayson College. Yeah, spent a year at Dallas Baptist as a freshman. Didn't get to play, but he had a really great year down there at Grayson College, which is a JUCO. So he's coming in. I think he had like 10 home runs, like a ton of RBIs, like looks like, and he looks like a huge kid just in pictures. So again, so a lot of this is, you know, I've seen about half of these guys. I have maybe more, like 60-70% I haven't seen. Who knows? You know, the coaches know. They do, I think, usually a pretty good job of bringing guys in that we think are pretty solid. But so there's a lot of, and I know Finney was saying they're still looking at maybe if they can get some available arms, they will. If they can't, they won't. But they're still, you know, they're still out there trying to see what they can add before they get to finally start up to school.
Yeah, there are a couple coaching changes, which unlocks the portal for 30 days when the new coach gets hired. So there are a couple of those things that occur. I think Princeton was the last team to fill their head coaching vacancy.
Which I really want to know what that means for our guy, Joe Homaker. If he may, I hate to just ask a guy like, hey, man, you got a job. But I feel like Joe would actually like not really mind that much if I shoot him a text and say, hey, you got a job. Because I know he loves up there. I mean, we love having an ODU alum. It's a Princeton professor. That's always a fun one.
Makes us feel smarter with our piece of paper. I did want to say this last time we recorded, because the portal was still open during our last one, but the staff has done a fantastic job of retaining talent this year.
Yeah.
This is the best that we have ever done in terms of having really talented guys already on the roster that don't leave to go somewhere else to play for, you know, a power conference or something like that. You know, keeping Ben Tanton, who was on that freshman All-American list, which is basically like a wish list for a lot of the big schools. Yeah. He stayed here. Evan Morales stayed here. All of the guys that we were really counting on coming back are going to be staying here. Excited for the guys who did decide to go jump in the portal and find some other ones. I know JJ Hand going to St. Bonaventure. His dad sent us a really nice note. We'll continue to root for him and track him and pay attention to him. But the staff deserves some praise for what they're able to do. And part of that is because of the rev share money and because of the NIL money. We are not at the bottom of the barrel in the Sun Belt. We are near the top, and we've been working a long time to get there. And like, this is how it pays off, where you retain a boatload of really good talent that you know, and then you add these guys that we're adding now that seem to be a step up in terms of their talent level as well. So, I mean, you should probably start getting excited. We got to go through fall ball, but
yeah.
Like, from a roster construction standpoint this year compared to last year, we are in a significantly better place.
It does feel like that. And you know, I still am of the belief that, like, right now for our level, as the Sun Belt is really a power conference in baseball, there isn't a lot of need for guys who are here and playing and doing well to move. But at the same time, if, you know, Auburn and the SEC calls you up, and we'd be mad at Nani if he did this, but if Auburn and the SEC calls you up, says, hey, here's a bag of cash, come play for us, it's hard for a guy to turn that down. So but you are right. Despite the fact that I think it's just naturally not as big a problem for us in baseball as it is for, say, basketball and football, you are correct. You still have to do it. And having that money available to keep your own guys and even more so to bring in really good guys is huge. They've done a great job at it. And you're right. It is exciting to hear, like, hey, we are out there and we've got a good amount of money that our guys are spending on. And again, I think a lot of it's just going to, like, hey, it's, I think that we, in times before when we've lost, it's been like, well, you can pick here or ODU. Well, here is going to pay for my school and ODU can't.
Yep.
Sorry, obviously. And now it's like, hey, all things be equal, like, no, I'd much rather go to you. It's just seems like a much cooler place full of better people.
Yeah, levels the playing field for us a bit. And again, we're not trying to go out and compete with Auburn.
Right.
In terms of NIL or Oklahoma, who just won the national title, or anyone like that. But we got to compete with Coastal and Southern Miss and all these other really, really good programs that are within the Sun Belt. I mean, Troy, you know, going to the College World Series is a big deal. That's who we need to compete with. And that's who we are now monetarily competing with. And if you saw the information that came out about licensing deals and marketing deals, we are the clear number one within the Sun Belt. We were not a couple of years ago. So kudos to that team.
Yeah.
And I think I put this out on Twitter. Imagine how much more money that's going to be when we start consistently winning at football and basketball again. Yeah. And I'll throw baseball into that mix too, because clearly the investments there from the school, we can win national titles in baseball. And you're starting to see that come to fruition. Now we just need to see it in the terms of the results on the field.
You just said exactly what I was going to say, is the reality that, like, Coastal and Troy are that proof of concept that, and I think we've said this again, but again, this is just off-season podcast, what you say. The reality is we have a chance to compete for a national championship in baseball. Yeah. I don't believe that exists in basketball really at all. It'd be amazing, but it'd be kind of like the luckiest fluke streak of all time. You had to win the tournament and had to win the big tournament to make it happen. In football, again, you know, we saw JMU. Like, frankly, if we beat JMU, Marshall were right there in the thing. Okay,
yeah, we're going to be in the playoffs.
They're also doing everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen. They're going out of their way to like try to not have that. Baseball seems to be very much okay with like small teams. They're like, yeah, we want the smaller teams to win. You just have to win. It's not like you get picked for the 64, but then you got to win the brackets and win the things. So, baseball is a place where we could legitimately and conceivably win a national championship. You know, it happens to schools at this level. It's been a minute, but they at least get to compete every year. There's a team of our level playing in the College World Series.
Yeah. And they've won national titles. I mean, Coastal's got one. It's happened before. I mean, when the mid-majors on the West Coast had their run with like the Fullertons and all of those, it can definitely happen. And that's just because baseball is one of those unique sports where you can spend $500 million on your payroll and not win the whole thing. Like it happens.
It's definitely a sport where like being a team matters, and being a bunch of dudes who love each other and want to play for each other matters. Yeah. And I think we've definitely got that. Now, how we mix that with like the right levels of talent and intensity and desire to not lose and to not be beaten. But I think we've got the idea of like having groups of guys who truly genuinely love each other is something that has been evident for years here at ODU, which I think is great. It makes one of the things that I think both of us really enjoy. It makes it fun to go out and watch games.
Yeah. It, there's not that awkward tension on the road trips and in the dugouts and things like that. And, you know, credit to kind of the passing of the torch from captains to captains, because I mean, they're dealing with, you know, 20 new guys every year that you're trying to fit into a culture that's set up. I think having some of the guys stay on staff has been helpful. I know we got a couple of those guys are going to do that again this year, just to kind of keep that momentum. Like, hey, this is what we do. This is who we are. Love that stuff. But it's exciting when you look at the roster and you look at the schedule. I mean, adding at Mercer, I mean, I hate to lose a home series, but that's going to be an RBI boost. And I mean, it could come down to the end of the season where us and Mercer are on the bubble. And hey, if we take two out of three on the road, we're gonna take that. We're gonna get the RPI.
Well, if you play Pitt, if you can win a series against a ACC team, it doesn't matter if it was a home or not. That's still a great series to win against the ACC team because you know their RPI, even if they're not one of the better teams in the ACC. I have no idea if they will be or not. I really don't know. They're still in the ACC, and their RPI will be pretty good.
Yeah, they're gonna have a series against Virginia and North Carolina. Yeah. The other schools are going to be, you know, top 30 RPI.
And we've got opportunities against UVA right there ourselves. We need to finally, you know, we finally get a home. I have no idea when the last time UVA played at ODU's place. I have no idea.
Probably before the headlights.
Probably back before the 2000s when they got too big for their britches. Probably. I mean, there was a time where UVA was just another school in baseball. I mean, that was the thing. That was one thing you can't take away from O'Connor. I mean, he really made that happen there. Baseball is now UVA baseball is a thing because of Brian O'Connor, what he did.
Oh yeah. Go look at a picture of that stadium when O'Connor was named the coach, and then go look at it when he left. And it's going from a backyard ballpark to one of the nicest facilities in all of Division I, and probably better than 98% of minor league stadiums.
Yeah, but now they got to walk into our place, and from the sounds of it, our place is going to be awesome. And you want to believe, you really hope we have. I just hope it's, you know, whenever it is in the schedule, it's great weather, and we can get like a sold out crowd there. That'd be pretty awesome to go out and then beat them. And like we had a run where we were beating them pretty much all the time at one point, and that was pretty. I remember one time being outside when they were leaving the Harbor Park, and they're like, "Man, we can't beat these guys." You're right.
Yeah, it was a good run. We need to get that going again because you know we were much more competitive in our midweeks this past season than we were the year before, but we're still pretty far off from where we need to be. And there were some bunnies there that we needed to win. Like you know, losing at William & Mary again was tough, but we got them back.
Well, and that was all pitching depth too, and I think our pitching depth is even better this year. Now, again, obviously things happen. You know, you get think about how many we had. Sheehy went down with the injury, and Van Alstyne went down with the injury. Hunter Baines was never able to pitch. I mean, you know, it just
Chuck was down. Yeah,
Chuck was down. Yeah, I mean, Charles is Charles Pierce. I said Charles like his name isn't Charles, but it is Charles.
Use his royal name, not his real name.
Use his government name. So you know, I mean, obviously, it just the reality of life is that probably somebody will get hurt. I hate it, but it's just probably true. But you hopefully that depth is there. I mean, yeah, that was definitely from the difference between 26 and 25, and 25 with all the travel and our midweeks, and we just did not have the pitching depth, and our midweeks were just like, yeah, just throw somebody out there so we can give up 10 runs and go home.
Yeah.
And this year was like, nope, we're going to compete. We're going to win. So,
yeah. So we continue to see an improvement there. Cause I think with this roster, like, and the schedule, the at-large conversation is back out there, but we have to keep that alive, like, through the middle of March. Cause this year, by the middle of March, we knew that that was not going to be on the table. It's, as we know, it's really difficult to win the Sun Belt tournament. You know, bad things can happen very, very quickly. And then also, you know, we saw the tournament after we left, they were playing games down the road at Troy and splitting, and it was a gauntlet to get through there. So if we could avoid that being the make or break, that would be fantastic.
Great Waffle House though.
Yeah. The late night Waffle House. That was
hurt. I injured myself with that.
I don't think anyone was feeling right. My alarm went off the morning to go catch my flight. I was like, I regret that decision very much. But fans, keep an eye out for ticket information on baseball. I think once they get the seats in place, which it sounds like, Finney, they're getting pretty close to having those things in and done. I imagine we'll get information on ticketing. I know that there's
like a seat if they don't know where the seat is.
Yeah, I think if it's like football, when they read to the stadium, they're like counting the day before to make sure they had enough, the right number of seats in the rows. So they got to physically be there. But there'll be premium seating options, all of that. I would recommend getting on that early, because with Pitt coming to town, with UVA, some of the better seats that maybe you used to walk in and sit in may not be there anymore. Obviously, plenty of GA areas, Rally Alley, all will be there. But things like premium seating help us retain talent. Like, think about that as like, yes, I'm buying a ticket and going to these games, but I'm also making sure that, hey, maybe Ben Tanton stays another year and doesn't run off to the SEC because he's so damn good, and I'm so glad that he's not in the portal. But guys like that, like that,
Ben's catching strays. Like, Ben's just here. Like, I love this place. So I don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah. And you know what? That could be the thing too. And he told everyone to just go screw, but, it would be nice to also reward him for his hard work and encourage more guys to follow his
path. That I can get behind. I'm more about let's reward the guy as opposed to, which again, it's the exact same thing, but let's do the framing more positively. Let's make sure our guys who are here killing it and showing up and being just great human beings and playing great for us. We are showing them every bit of love we possibly can, not just with our emotions, but with our dollars.
Yes. And I think if everyone who has ever heard Finney talk about this subject, I don't know if there's anyone I would trust more with a whole big bucket of NIL money to do the right thing with than Finney. He's not going to overpay for someone that never sees the court or the field or something like that. He's going to make sure they're good kids first, which is really important.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's funny how, you know, we are, I was thinking about this earlier, like we are so far away from last season, so far away from the next season, but then you're still like, I'm still excited. It's still like, I can't, like at some point, you know, next month they're going to have a camp and I'm sure I'll go out and meet some more of the other guys. And then it won't be, I mean, by the end of September, they'll be out there practicing and playing some scrimmage games and then, you know, right in the fall ball. So it won't be long. We'll be sitting there at the new Elmer Family Field at the Bud Metheny Baseball Complex or whatever. I don't know if I even said that correctly. Town Bank Field's in there somewhere. whatever. All the seven names, still the Bud in our hearts, but you know, we'll make sure again, whoever those people are, they're making sure they gave us money too. So
we appreciate them
immensely.
The Elmer family forked over a good bit of money to help us build that stadium. So
with two L's, don't misspell it.
Yes, they did it right on all the things. I just spelled it wrong on a tweet one time. But yes, they definitely want to thank them for putting that, because this doesn't happen without them. So it can be the Bud, it can be the Elmer Family Baseball Complex, whatever they want. If you're giving the money, I'll support you.
thank you, Town Bank, even though I used to work for a different bank.
I work for a different bank too. So. all right. Well, I think that'll do it for us, CB, unless you got something, another rabbit in the hat.
No, man. I mean, I still get to see a little more baseball here in the summer, and we'll see some in the fall, and going to start enjoying our sports. And by the time next time we talk in August, we'll probably be watching some ODU sports already. Be great.
Yes. And don't forget, if you're going through Savannah, Georgia, Scotty Young is there playing for the visitors. I see all of his cool social media stuff. If you're not following him, you should, because it helps him if you go follow on the social media and interact there. And also, I want to shout out whoever is creating the fan pages for our baseball players on Instagram. Patrick Johnson has one, and I hope he enjoyed the concert he went to with Margot Robbie, because I enjoyed laughing at the picture. So
you are going to have to – I have not seen any of this. So you're going to have to share this with me. I have not.
It's obviously someone else on the team creating these fan accounts and putting up AI images. But
Not all for AI, but I am all for the razzing of other of friends. It's,
in this case, I will say it is worth the water and energy usage because it made me laugh pretty hard.
I will say we can finish on this, but I will say there's nothing funnier than a bad Photoshop, like having a picture like and I'm sure whatever picture they made, if like you said him and Margot Robbie, that's great, but like having like a picture of him and then like a poorly photoshopped, terribly cropped picture of Margot Robbie, clearly not at the same place, is to me always gonna be funnier. Maybe that's an age thing. I don't know.
It is funny, but also Patrick Johnson's arms are getting bigger in every single photo. So I'm really enjoying that development too. But there's a lot of them. I think most of the players have one now, and it's very, very entertaining.
Sure. All right. Why not?
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Thanks for tuning in over the summer. Hope your summer's going well. If you're not already subscribed to The Monarchist on YouTube, please do that. We don't want to get banned from doing live things because we don't have enough subscribers. So please subscribe. That's it. Go Monarchs.
Monarchs.